Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I am Nolan.
And this is Elements, our monthly bonus episode brought to you by our munificent patrons.
Munificent?
Maleficent.
Who support the show on a monthly basis. Even over the last few days, we had a few new patrons come in. It's been incredible last couple of weeks, the support and the love that we felt. It's been a virtual hug, an e-hug, if you will.
Dustin, what does munificent mean?
Look it up.
Okay, last time we did this, you threatened to get me a thesaurus. I feel like you need to get a thesaurus, have it by your table.
No, that's an Urban Dictionary term. I don't do slang.
All right, listen. I'm not going to answer your question. I'm going to tell everyone else to visit patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information about how you can support the show. There's some benefits that you get for supporting the show: early access to content, t-shirt, friendship, different things like that. And then there's various milestones and goals. We were just talking before we hit record. We're only a few dollars away from being forced to do a 24-hour live stream.
Whoops. Yeah. Now, that's not technically going to be 24 hours for one person. We're going to divide it up by three because 24 is ridiculous.
Sure. We're going to divide it up. Kenny and I will probably hit 2 hours or so, and then you'll do a full, 16 for Minecraft.
Yeah, I got stuff to build.
20 hours of Minecraft for Nolan.
But this series, Elements, is a result of hitting one of those early goals. And it's not just one of the goals wasn't Elements. It was a monthly bonus episode. And we've been doing that the last few months. But it has been maybe 3 or 4 months since we've done an Elements episode proper.
I know.
It's true because we've done some other different kinds of bonus stuff, which was really fun. But I always love Elements. They're some of my favorite episodes to record. And if you're just tuning in and you go, Elements, what in the world is this thing that you're talking about?
Elements, this what in the world is this thing that you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Elements.
I'm glad you asked. This is our chance to look at video games in a kind of different way. We love doing retro games, and we love talking about each game sort of across the board. But every once in a while, it's nice to change our MO a little bit and to talk about one game with no limitations, just a game that we choose no matter when it came out, and to talk specifically about one element of that game. It gives us a chance to go much more in depth on, say, the music or the story, possibly the gameplay or those kinds of things for a single game. And so it's kind of our deep dive into a game of our choosing, which is a wonderful change of pace and a really fun chance for us to play a game together and then just talk about reasons that we love it or hate it or whatever else.
And so for this Elements episode, we are going to be talking about a puzzle adventure game developed by Starbreeze Studios and produced by 505 Games. It came out in the year 2013 for the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and the PC. Since then, it's been ported to various consoles, even mobile device. But it is a stunningly beautiful game, complete with a moving story about two brothers who are on a journey to collect water from the Tree of Life in order to cure their dying father. And there's just so many great things about this game. The soundtrack is wonderful. The graphics are extraordinary and unique. The story is up there with the best. But there's one element that sets this game apart from all of the others, and it is what we will be talking about in this episode. So join us now as we talk about the gameplay of Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Thank you.
So as we start talking about the gameplay of Brothers, I think it's most important that we kind of just set the foundation. And that is the whole shtick of this game. Can I say shtick?
I'll allow it. Shtick? You really clumped
that. Does it make
me
sound like an old man?
I mean, you are, so go ahead.
Okay, that's fair. I'll own it. The whole shtick, if you will, of this game is that there's two characters who are being controlled simultaneously. Now, that makes for a really, really sort of interesting control scheme. Because, let me tell a quick story about my experience with this game, and then when I had the revelation of the fact that my experience wasn't as unique as I thought it was.
You do you.
Yeah, Dustin told me to play this game, and I said, okay, cool, looks great, looks interesting, interesting story, let me do it. And I jumped in, and it looked like a two-player co-op game. So I sat down at the PC, tried to get my wife to play this game with me, where each one of us was controlling one of the characters separately. You have each of the brothers, and they can each be moved around the screen in this sort of 3D space and then interact with each other and with elements on the screen as you kind of go through your adventure. And that quickly didn't take. The game didn't hook her. She's not much of a gamer generally. And I moved on to try and finish this story by myself and felt like I was doing something really novel playing both characters and getting through this whole game. And then come to realize they designed the game around, like I played it mouse and keyboard, they designed this game around the idea of having a single controller in your hand and dividing it in half, where your two joysticks each control a separate character and buttons on that hand do their interactions. And so it's a really smooth way to give you the ability to kind of do both of these stories and these interactions together at the same time. But kind of interesting that it also, I guess, really could be a co-op game if you wanted it to be.
Yeah, it could. I think the key thing here is that you're controlling both of the brothers, but independently. You
right.
know,
and so you may need them to walk in different directions or do actions do different at different times.
And not only may, like that, it does a great job of slowly moving you into that where you really have to be doing separate things with them. Because although you're controlling them independently, this might be a surprise to you guys, but you only have one brain. And
what?
So
what?
When you're playing this to get, did you say it twice on purpose? When you're playing this,
I hope he did.
When you're playing that, of course he did. When you're playing this game with one brain, two thumbs, and two thumbsticks, along with two triggers, because on the controller you're using the left thumbstick and the left trigger, the shoulder button, to control BB.
Baby brother.
No, Big, come on. Big brother.
Okay.
And then you're using right thumbstick and right trigger to control LB.
Large brother?
I hate you both. you're using, there's no use of any of the face buttons, which already right. makes that a super unique title. Like, that's
yeah.
a super.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
It doesn't rules, play like dude. Any other game.
I love what both of you said, so I don't want to miss it. Kenny, you said it's unlike any other game, I believe, something like that. And then
absolutely.
Nolan, you said that's against the rules. And both of those statements are incredibly true and are in part what makes this game from the start incredibly interesting and a little bit challenging.
100%.
Right. And it's kind of unfortunate, Kenny, that you played with a keyboard, because the developers even told people when this game came out, they're indie at the time or still are.
I mean, they had done a few other notable titles.
Okay, so not a huge company like Ubisoft right. or something. The devs were like, please, please play this game with the controller. It's meant to be played with the controller. It's on PC now, but they were like, if you want the full experience, play it on the controller, because there's just something about having both hands on the joysticks and the triggers and just using the one brain that you have to make sense of it all. It's so unique.
I think because I have done so much PC gaming, it didn't even feel foreign to me. Like jumping in and moving characters and moving around that way feels almost as natural as a controller to me.
Yeah.
And that's probably not the case for most people picking up the game and playing it. So I can totally see their point. But it didn't bug me. I still was super immersed and felt I could learn to do both at the same time, though it really did challenge how you thought and how you looked at the screen, and keeping track of two different things and like syncing their actions up was challenging, but really fun.
Super challenging. And so I did a full first play of this game, which was super cool. Not even a first play. It was a live stream. And then we took each of those sessions. And in three different sessions, I was able to play through the entire game. But you can even see through my experience, and I'm sure it's the same with you two, that at the beginning and probably throughout at certain times, your brain confuses things. And as you're trying to control two characters separately,
absolutely. They cross,
if my brothers crossed paths, then I was screwed for a little bit, because
it's so true. I always kept them when I could on like the same sides of
right.
the screen
oh,
between
yeah.
each screen, and then if it was like forced to switch for some reason, oh man, I was butchering everything for a little while.
Sure, because again, one brain, two different characters that you're controlling, and it's just completely unique, because usually you've got one character that you're controlling with both hands, one brain on one controller, but this game from the start with its just innovation of controls sets it apart entirely in the gameplay category. Which leads me to kind of like one of the things that stood out to me. So kind of the second thing that we can talk about here is the abilities and the limitations of these two brothers. Not only are you controlling two separate brothers, BB and LB, I'm not going to do that, but big brother and little brother, they have different abilities. And I'll say that word, but let me explain, because the key gameplay mechanic here is twofold, and it's super simple. It's movement and action. Movement and action, that's the only thing, if you want to strip it all down, that is the only thing that you're doing in this game. You're moving these two brothers, and then you're pressing the trigger buttons as their action buttons. There are no weapons, there's no magic, there's no unique abilities, there's no fighting, really. You don't have any of that. All you have is your brain and the fairly normal abilities of these two boys. So, like, they can stand, they can run, they can lift, and they can pull, and that's about it, but they do it differently from one another. From the very beginning of the game, their character and personality and strengths and abilities are on display as you try to use them. So something super simple, and then we can maybe talk about some of the other things that may have stood out to you, is that the older brother is stronger than the younger brother, which, I mean, duh, right? He's much older, probably. It looks sure. like maybe two times older.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so the older brother is stronger, so he can lift certain things that the little brother can't, and he can pull down these big switches that are all throughout the game that little brother tries with all his might to pull, but he's too weak to. Conversely, younger brother is smaller, and so he can slip through tight spaces mm-hmm. or like these bars that the big brother is unable to slip in between. And so you've got to use them both at different times to do different things in tandem with one another in order to complete the puzzles and progress the story.
Yeah. And that might be one of my favorite things about this game. One of my favorite takeaways from this game is how much they were able to extract from two basic actions, movement and action. All games have like abilities and unlockables, and you do all these different things. They kept it so simple here, but the game never once feels slow, boring, like not challenging. Two very simple things, and they really just like left it at that. And that's the most impressive thing to me about these developers.
One of the other key things that is kind of the limitation here is that, and it's a part of the story, but it sets it up in the beginning that little brother is afraid of water. He lost his mother in like a boating accident. Him and his mother were out on the water.
Yeah, it's like traumatic.
She drowned. He couldn't say. Big part of the story.
Yeah.
Throughout the game, there's three or four instances in which the brothers find themselves in water. And when they do, the younger brother is terrified. He cannot swim. He doesn't want to be there alone. And so a really cool thing is that the first time you come to the water, the big brother knows that. He steps into the water first. And you as the little brother can move up to you as the big brother. And if you press the little brother's trigger, you take hold of the big brother's back.
So
and then
good.
You move the thumbstick of the big brother, and that then he swims because big brother's fine in the water. So yeah. That's just one of the things, but that happens time and time again. That's one of the key areas that it happens, where little brother can't swim, so he holds onto the back of the big brother, and then as the big brother, he swims. There's so many different kind of instances where that takes place, but all throughout this game, each of the brothers have strengths and weaknesses, or some abilities that one can do but the other can't. And as you learn their personality, as you learn their character, as you get later in the game, you know exactly yeah. what you need to do with each side of your controller or right. with each brother to be able to progress.
But at first you don't, and that's part of the fun of
discovery.
This learning experience. Yeah. There's this whole discovery of like, even though I have two characters, they're going to be used differently. Like, you walk up to the first wall that's, like, too tall, and little brother's, like, trying to get up it and can't, and it's hilarious, you know? And then, lo and behold, he can get a boost from his much bigger, older sibling, and boom, puzzle solved. And even something as simple as that starts to teach you how to play the game. And so it's yeah. not... like,
right.
And that's what's neat about this game to me, is the story and the puzzles and the gameplay are so intermeshed in terms of what they're doing and how they do it, that even this idea of like brotherhood and what it means to depend on somebody else, like, is clear not just through the story but through like your actions and your inability to do it without each character yeah. and their unique traits. And it's super cool and adds way more emotional punch to their storytelling because of what they do with mechanics, which is top-notch game design.
So that kind of leads us into talking about what the brothers are actually doing. So we've talked about how they're helping each other, they have limitations. But the main way this game progresses, the way this story is told, is through puzzles. So the game is full of small puzzles, larger puzzles, different challenges, and that's the main core like challenge that you have to get over in this game. It's how you progress.
Even handling the two brothers together is a puzzle, challenge. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes it's more a dexterity puzzle than like a figure it out mentally puzzle, but it still totally counts in how you do these things.
Yeah, yeah. And my favorite thing about these puzzles, and I think we should mention our favorite ones in this section somewhere, but my favorite thing about the puzzles and how you get to them is that you end up in the middle of one without even knowing it. Most games there will be a very clear sign, and it's best practice. Like, it's a good thing to have to the player. Hey, it's time for a new stage. It's time for a new challenge. But this game is unique in the sense that you're just going through this game and you get stuck on something. And before you realize it, you're like, wait, I'm doing like a whole puzzle. I just fell into this.
Oh, and yeah. But so there are some that are like straight up, hey, this is a puzzle.
Sure.
But for the majority of them, oh, yeah, you might not even know it's a puzzle. Like, even on the Wikipedia page of this game, it's an adventure game. But after playing it, you're like, I mean, that's, if you really strip it down, you're doing puzzle after puzzle after mm-hmm. puzzle. It's just not the typical move this block into this space, you know?
Oh, yeah. It gets
a totally different thing. Yeah.
I mean, they're actually challenging. Like, some of them are really hard. Like we've mentioned several times now, our brains just don't want to work that way with two different characters. I mean, all games, you're just controlling one character, but in this one, you have two, and they each have their own unique traits. And so it's actually hard, which adds to the whole struggle that the brothers are having in the story. It's like, story-wise, they're on this quest to save their father. And so it's like, it all meshes together, even in the puzzles themselves.
It's your section, so do you want to share your favorite puzzle first?
Yes, I would love to. So my favorite puzzle is kind of like a series of puzzles. So it's kind of cheating to say this, but the brothers find themselves eventually in this mine. It's like the ancient ruins,
yeah.
old dwarven mine-looking thing, and it's this long, epic sequence of, like, it starts so cool. Like, you can't cross this thing because there's no way across, but you see these gears turning and maybe you don't think anything of it. And that's the other part about these puzzles, is like, it's a slow grind. Like, you start noticing details and you're like, wait, maybe there's a way to interact with that. And they pick up this log and you have to walk it and maneuver it through this like really tight area, which is ridiculous. And they put it in the rotating cog and it gets caught, and then so that starts a whole sequence of amazing puzzles.
And even that log, since it is a tight confined space, there's only one way to get it out of there. And so you're moving with both thumbsticks while holding the triggers so they don't drop the log, and just make around these tight corners. And it that in and of itself, it's a puzzle.
Sure.
Super cool. Kenny, I'll defer to you for the next one, because I've got a couple that I could say.
So there's lots of puzzles proper that, you know, like tricky areas that caught me. But one of the, I guess, like mini puzzles, it's more of a can you handle moving your characters together at the same time challenges. And again, the line's really blurry here because some of the puzzles are all about figuring something out, and some of them literally are about, you know, how can you get across this chasm, and only by, you know, timing your, you know, your button pushes exactly correctly can you do it. And
if we haven't made it clear yet, the whole game is a puzzle and you might not know it. We got that. What is your favorite?
I just didn't feel like this one was super puzzly, and I was justifying my answer because it is.
And it is.
There's a moment where baby brother has like fallen off this cliff and he's hanging onto this root.
Yes.
And large brother is up at the top.
Absolutely
holding the root.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've got to get them, you got to get baby brother back safe to you. And so you've got to move one character side to side and the other character up and down, but based on what you're seeing on the screen. And it's very much a, you know, rub your belly, pat yourself on the head kind of thing. Because it's super easy to, you know, to pay attention to one or not the other. And at the moment, it's these, like, evil int tree kinds of things coming out of the cliff that are super creepy that are gonna just take baby brother out. And it was notable to me.
I've got two, and I'll say them really quickly. One is when later on in the game, the brothers are moving through this like abandoned, ancient, decrepit castle, and they tie a rope to each other, and and then have to swing from ledge to ledge using each other as anchors. I just think that's a really cool, a really cool kind of puzzle and tactic there. But then my favorite, and it's one of the earlier ones, and it's relatively simple, but it's just charming, is they're in this hay field, and there's these hay bales and this rabid dog that's chasing after you. And so you have to run one brother on one side of the ground or maze to safety on a hay bale, get the dog's attention. As the dog runs over to that brother, then you can run with the other brother. Simple puzzle again. But so cute, so much charm, a lot of fun.
Last thing I'll say about the puzzles is the way that the camera is involved in all of it. You may not notice it when you're playing the game, but the camera like changes constantly to let you see the environment, let you see your brother who's way over to the right. And like, I was very impressed at the way they used the camera to kind of help you understand puzzles and add some challenge to it. So it's like crazy good job on the development of these puzzles.
They really did. And crazy fluid on cameras, angles for puzzles, but then into cutscenes and transitions, and it feels like one long continuous action scene. And it's crazy how well they pull it off. As we talk about these puzzles, I can't help but think that there's like the puzzles themselves are great, but there's so many things that you can interact with in this game. Some of which are parts of puzzles and are just super interesting, but some of which are totally just sort of enrich the story side content that I really think it's worth literally taking a moment just to talk about these like interesting interactions that you have. And so there's two things that sort of stick out to me here. One is some of the challenges themselves are super interesting and they stay novel the whole time. You don't ever have the same thing repeated. You may have similar motifs in puzzles, but like they're different. And so the moment I realized this game was going to be that way is the guys have climbed way, way up, and Dustin, it's right before your tower scene that you were talking about, and they get this glider that's going to fly through this whole sort of valley.
One of my favorite moments.
Oh, it's so cool, and it's epic, and it looks great, and it's beautiful, and it's a really cool moment. But the glider reacts to the weight of the brothers hanging on it. So instead of any other action, you're moving each character sort of side to side, left or right, or closer to each other or farther apart. And how your weight is or how distributed you are helps like the glider to work as it's supposed to or not. And so if you get it wrong, you can, you know, run into stuff and have to try again. And just again and again, there's these interactions that are novel, even though it's using the same basic controls. And it's mind-blowing to me how creative they were.
My favorite ones are the optional ones that don't have to do, and you won't necessarily lose. Well, I would argue you lose stuff by not interacting with them, but you don't have to do that. Extra story stuff.
It builds out the characters more.
I know.
In my mind, it's so necessary because I'm all about story, but it's easily missable, easily skippable, and you are lacking for not doing them, but it's not mandatory. That's
right. And like, for example, one of them at this one part of the game, it's nighttime. You're at a campfire with your brother and you hear wolves and they start to come close to you. And the brother picks up a stick that has fire on it. And then I was just curious, the little brother can't pick it up. He goes to like touch the fire and it burns him. Another one, the older brother smells a flower early in the game, and the little brother like smashes it like a little kid. Like, just stuff like that just really adds in to the characters.
And then there's one that is by far my favorite. It's so good, and it's easily missable again, and not mandatory. But in the first chapter, you find a group of black rabbits that are hopping around an old fire pit, an abandoned fire pit. Again, this is easily missable.
Yeah, I missed this one.
Oh man, dude, it's a little bit out of the way, but you see it as you're coming down a hill and you see these black rabbits that are hopping around this fire pit. The fire has long since been put out, only ashes remain, but amongst the black rabbits is a single white rabbit hopping around with them, but you can tell that she's trying to fit in, she's not being accepted. Some racism going on, I guess, but you can catch that white rabbit and dip her in the soot of the campfire.
Oh my gosh.
And make that newly, and that white rabbit turns black, and that newly turned black soot covered rabbit, it makes her incredibly happy, and then she begins to jump around with the other rabbits and they accept her. Completely unnecessary for the story, but such an interesting interactable that I think just adds to the charm, adds to the story, adds to the characterization of the brothers, the kind-heartedness of them, and just adds so much.
And they didn't have to do that.
Didn't have to do that at all.
No, not at all.
Unnecessary and 100% wonderful.
But you can tell, like, as you play this game, it is super emotive. It's one of the best storytelling games we've done. When we decided we were going to talk about this game, we literally were like, we could pick any topic we wanted because it's so top-notch on all of them. And because the people who made this game are good storytellers, I think they were just looking for opportunities to give you those little extra nuggets. And they went so far as to encourage it, because if you play the game, at least on Steam, the way I played it, most of the like achievements that you can unlock tend to be linked to these sort of little side bonus moments, not to actual gameplay. And so you got to look for them, and it's almost like hidden Easter eggs and something you're looking for, but it's also just you being in the story and in their world and interacting with it, and it's super cool.
Two other things, they go hand in hand. Interactables that are unnecessary. One, you can walk by a woman early on that's sweeping outside of her house, and if you try to interact with the big brother, he helps her sweep. He grabs the broom and he starts sweeping for her. But if you interact with the younger brother, he takes the broom from the woman. You think he's going to do the same thing, but no. Instead, he balances the broom on his hand and begins to like move around like he's a juggler, or like he's balancing it and trying to get everybody's attention. And it builds out their character in that moment. On the other side of the spectrum, this is also unnecessary. You can just walk by it and let it happen. But as the game progressively gets darker in its themes and stories, the brothers come up on this tree and treehouse. And in the moment you walk on the screen, I know this is dark, but a person falls from the branch and you just walk up on someone that just hanged themselves.
Yeah.
And yeah. You can Weird. Watch that happen. It's brief. You can pass it by. If you're quick enough with the big brother, you can run up, grab the person and support their weight. As the little brother, you can climb the rope and get up onto the branch. And then you can untie the rope that the person was hanging themselves with. And if you do that in enough time, they set the person down and the person begins to weep. And then the two brothers can come and console that individual.
Wow.
Yeah, so heavy.
Wow. So cool.
So story building. Completely missable. You don't have to do that. But these interactables are key to understanding the two brothers' characters. And at the end of the game, things continue to get progressively dark and progressively emotive and progressively heavy. So I want to talk about the element of end game change to controls. And I just want to start with a disclaimer saying that in this section, we're going to talk about some in-game content. So there's going to be a little bit of a reveal here. And so if you don't want to spoil yourself, pause this and go play the game. You can get it done in 3 hours. It's not a
or
long
less.
Game.
Yeah, yeah, it's so
but
short.
I mean, but in 3 hours, they pack in what some games can't do in 60.
True.
It's true.
But it's so if true. if you don't want to hear kind of those spoilers now, go ahead and pause or fast forward to the next section. But in this one, we do want to talk about that in-game content because it's huge here. Late in the game, the brothers get tricked and an evil spider lady mortally wounds Big Brother. And they end up finding themselves right outside of the Tree of Life. They're so close to salvation. And so as soon as the older brother is stabbed and he's bleeding out and he's dying, the little brother rushes to the top of the tree and he gets the water and he makes it back down the tree. But when he makes it back down the tree, Big Brother has died. And he's pale, lifeless. The little brother just, I mean, with like every ounce of passion and energy and brotherhood that he has is trying to pour this water drink after drink into the brother, Big Brother's mouth, but it's to no avail. Big Brother's dead. Once you're dead, you can't be brought back. And so the game then forces you to bury your Big Brother right there so that you can make it back and still rescue your father. And so the game forces you to grab onto your brother's legs, I believe, and pull him into the shallow grave that little brother had dug. And not only that, the game then forces you to, as little brother, push the dirt mounds on top of Big Brother. He's in the hole and you have to go to each mound and press the trigger button as little as you want to kick this dirt back onto, or not back on, but onto the Big Brother to bury him. And it's completely heart-wrenching, completely gripping. But then, for the final 15 to 20 minutes of gameplay, you as the gamer feel absolutely lost because this entire time you have trained your brain. Remember, one brain, two hands. And you've trained your hands how to control both of these brothers independently but together. And now you feel completely crippled and at a loss because you no longer need a hand. There's no reason for you to have even your left hand attached to the controller any longer because you only have one brother to control. And you not only see that and you not only are told that, but you deeply, intimately, physically even feel that.
Yeah, like what game has that moment, you know? Like emotionally, but also, yeah, like physically you feel it because this whole time your hands have been trained one way. Like it's
insane.
Crazy.
I think, and I mentioned it earlier, but I think the unity in disparate elements working together to tell the same story, to make the same experience, is the thing that this game does best. And this is one of the most creative ways that that's done, but it's not like you get a story and you play a game. You play through this story interactively, and it's one seamless thing, and it's absolutely beautiful and emotive and meaningful. And because they do novel things like this, you literally feel it, not just like mentally.
I mean, everything, sound, the noises the little brother is making when he's struggling to swim by himself, Like,
well, and you have to go back with the water to your father, and you get a little help, but you do have to go back through the beginning areas, but only with little brother. To get back to your father. And there's one of the most gripping moments was in the final few minutes of gameplay. The little brother comes up to a little segment of water. And we've already talked about in this Elements episode that little brother is terrified of the water and he can't cross the water alone. And all of the other segments, he had to get on the back of Big Brother. And so in my let's play, you see me for a good 60 seconds or so standing at the water's edge trying to figure out how do I get this little brother across. And I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. So I slowly start to move away from the water. And I guess it just in habit, I press the left trigger, Big Brother's trigger, that I haven't been using for the last few minutes. He's dead. And there's movement on the screen and a noise that takes place. And in that moment, by a press of a button, I am moved to tears because I realize that my big brother is dead, in that moment to get across the water, I need my big brother. And so I press the left trigger for big brother, and that gives little brother enough courage to swim across the water alone. Oh my gosh.
I know. And that's exactly the process they wanted. They wanted you to sit there for minutes, half an hour. What do I do? How do I get across the water? This is frustrating. And when you finally feel that, like, oh.
Yeah, it's absolutely magical.
Thank God they did it for brothers. I love my brothers, but if it would have been a husband and a wife, I can't. No. Too close.
So taking a step back from all these attributes of this game, everything that's so wonderful about it, so unique about it, so challenging about it, emotional, it's really gameplay mechanics as a message. So we said we would love to talk about the story here. We could have done music, all of that. But what's so crazy about the gameplay in this game is that the controls themselves are telling the story, taking you on this emotional journey by simply just having you fall into different situations with these two brothers and with these controls. So much so that they don't even use language. It's gibberish.
Yeah, we never even said that.
There is gibberish.
Yeah, which is super cool.
There's no actual English language or any language.
Yeah.
They're not telling the story from those things. They're telling it from mechanics, from the gameplay.
Yeah, like you can't do that. It's against the rules.
No, it's super smart. Especially for what they're trying to do, keeping it so neutral. And like it's good for every audience. Like it's already internationalized because it's just, you know, sounds and actions and human things, not actual like speech, and it's so powerful.
Like, you have to have text in a story game, but you at all times you knew what was going on. You knew what they were trying to say to each other. They're pointing and using gibberish and using emotions, and like that alone is crazy, but it's all through the controls. Like, you feel your way through this story, and they condition you, like your left hand's big brother, right's little brother, and you figure it out that way. And as Dustin mentioned, when that's gone, like when you realize big brother's gone, you're at a loss and you feel it physically. I can't name another game that takes it that deep.
No. And here's the thing, they try, and when I play games, I want to be emotionally invested, but it takes a lot for a game to do that. But again, with a simple press of a button in this game. Now, it wasn't just that. It builds up the whole time. But it uses these mechanics so that you feel it. You're not just being forced a message or told a message. I actually read this week in regards to the mechanics of Brothers. It is a really good quote. But it said, "We see so many games striving to be interactive movies. But Brothers is something more akin to poetry. Mechanics are stanzas, and together they pack more of an emotional wallop than some scripts achieve with thousands upon thousands of hollow words."
That's not easy to pull off. Like, what?
And, I mean, obviously, kind of flowery with the language there, poetry, right? But, I mean,
well, sure.
The way that this stuff is put together, I just really appreciate, especially in our modern era of gaming, a game that doesn't force a message to you. It brings you along for the journey.
Yeah.
Again, that is not difficult to do, but Brothers does it well.
Yeah, and we didn't mention this, but all throughout the story, you're unfolding the Brothers' story, but along the way, as you're solving some of these puzzles, there are many plot lines going on. So, like in that cavern I was talking about, you end up not meaning to, but you end up bringing these two kind trolls together that presumably they're lovers, and like just them embracing each other after you rescue her, like your mom's gone, but your dad's dying. Like you're still, the brothers are still helping those around them. You rescue a dying bird. Like it's so emotional, and it's all connected to these controls, and it's insane.
Yeah, you guys are totally right. Very, very few games tell a story and use the design of the game and the controls and everything about the game, the cameras, the speech, the whole thing, to get to one sort of emotive story as well as this game does. And so I'd highly encourage everybody, go out, play this game. Rarely do we like give full on, like, you have to play this. We just talk about games and play it if you want or don't if you want. But I think each one of us would literally say, like your life will be enriched by playing this game. And that's a crazy amount of credit to give to something. So if you don't know of it, if you haven't played it, go out, check it out. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
And we truly hope that you enjoyed this bonus episode, Gameplay of Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. We thanked our patrons collectively at the top of the episode, but we want to give a special shout out to our producers. So that is Alex, Dear Baby, Bill, Michael, and Zion. Until next time, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been another bonus episode of New Game Plus.